Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Great morning to you out there. It's a beautiful Thursday morning, and I know we're going to get some weather this afternoon. Shouldn't affect you at all this morning. Sue Thomas might just have her hands full a little bit later. Do not let that deter you for even a moment from coming to our spring bourbon fling tonight out in Clayton. It's going to be easy. Good parking situation there on Clayton Road, just across from the Tropicana Bowl at the Clayton White House. We'll be there from 5:30 till about 8.
Yep, I'm looking forward to it.
Which means
plenty
we'll be
food.
Bleary-eyed tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
You prepared to do the show tomorrow?
Huh. You know, I was prepared after Kentucky was knocked out. So
I tell you,
I actually have more confidence that you'll be here tomorrow than I did after Kentucky lost.
They're putting me in a room with a bunch of friends and lots of bourbon. I don't know what'll happen. We'll see.
Find out tomorrow from 5 to 9
hey,
at the Mark
that's
Cox Morning
true.
Show.
This is very true. We'll be here. Anyway, tickets are still available. Just go to 971talk.com and you'll see the Spring Bourbon Fling right there. And you can just sign up, come in. There's still a few tickets and we'll have appetizers. And if you don't like bourbon, there'll be some wine. They do sell all that stuff at the Clayton Wine House as well. So if you need to restock, a good thing to do while you're there. Thanks to our friends over at Lohr Wine and Spirits for helping us set this up tonight. Looking forward to it. Coming up, we got Jim Talent. He's going to join us, talk more about this standoff in Congress, in the House, right? Mike Johnson is the speaker. I'm not happy with Mike Johnson right now. I'm not, just telling you that. But there are growing calls to have him removed. And I'm also not happy about that because I don't think the timing is right to take that stand right now. The margins are too narrow. We'll see what Jim thinks about it. Coming up about 7:20. He's been in that situation before, so I'd be anxious to hear what he's got to say about it. And whether or not this is the time for Republicans to take the principled stand on one bill that affects the border and all that, or individual bills for funding for Ukraine and Israel and everything else. A little later, we're going to get to Shannon Bream. I'm interested in her take on the court hearing this week on January 6th and obstruction charges. Sounded to me like at least the conservative judges have serious questions about how the statute's being used, trying to lock people up for 20 years for basically minor trespassing charges. It seems vindictive is what it seems like. We'll get Shannon's take on that at 8:20. First, though, let's get to our top stories, Carl.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
They don't want to hear about the people who are suffering with our open borders. They don't want to hear about the people who are dying. They don't want to hear about the terrorists coming into this country.
Yeah, no, they don't. That's Ted Cruz, obviously, talking about the fact that Senate Democrats refused to hold a hearing on an impeachment. For the first time in anybody's memory, Chuck Schumer refused to go along with the rules of the Senate.
Ambrose Finnegan, when they called him Uncle Bosey, got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals.
What did he do? What do you think he did? I don't know. Joe was making that up, so maybe he made the rest of the story up as well.
Are these planes safe?
Right now, I would not. You know, from what I've seen, the airplanes are not being built per spec and per requirement.
Yeah, Boeing denies all that. That was one of the whistleblowers. Hopefully, he's got some personal security walking around with him this morning.
Our wonderful sitting Supreme Court justice who couldn't answer what a woman is because she claimed she wasn't a biologist. Guess what? I'm not a veterinarian, but I know what a dog is. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard in my whole entire life.
Yeah, that was Riley Gaines, if you didn't recognize her voice. Annie got her on the air yesterday. So much going on in that arena. She, of course, was one of the few people with the guts to speak out against this Leah Thomas or whatever his name is, who was swimming as a woman with all of his male parts and winning and stripping women of the chance to be on the podium at the end of a swim meet. Mm-hmm. People who'd swam their whole careers. And this guy sweeps in, starts winning medals, and depriving our daughters of being able to win or place even. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And she stood up against it.
Which I really appreciate. She's been super outspoken and I think made a difference. She says, of course, hindsight's 20/20. And she says, thinking back now to when she was swimming against Leah Thomas, she wishes that she had just never gotten into the pool. And she's really hoping that other people can do that now, because she thinks that's what's ultimately going to end all of this nonsense.
Yeah, I think she's right. And she was advised at the time to ignore it and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
This was her response when Annie asked her that yesterday.
I'm always honored to have support of people. I have people who come up and say, look, I'm a mom. You know, I have daughters. Thank you for doing what you're doing. I can't do anything because, you know, I work a corporate job, but you keep going. Or I'll have athletes come up or message me privately. Some athletes who we all know, very renowned, famous professional athletes, who say, yeah, you keep going. But, you know, I can't join you. I've got sponsorships. I've got endorsements or what have you. This is my livelihood, but you keep taking those arrows. And I just want to shake them. Again, I understand the position they're in. I understand the risk and the threats because, honestly, they're real. They really are. But this would be over so quickly if we could unite, lock arms, and stand together.
Yep, I agree. It is interesting how many people will give you silent support. And I know my situation was way different, but as it relates to the vaccine, I can't tell you how many people I had reaching out, some people in media, local media, who did get the shot and were saying, gosh, I hate that I got the shot. Good for you for saying no. But they would never say that publicly.
No. And I've had people on different topics come up and say, well, I think you're right. But, of course, I can never say that publicly. They're not going to admit that. This would be over tomorrow. If Americans would stand up and say, you know what, this defies logic. There are 8 billion people on Earth. Not a single one of them is here because a man gave birth to them. That's not a thing. There are 2 genders, and this is simple. And men who've been, particularly men who've been through puberty, I don't care if you've been on female hormones or not, if you've been through puberty, you have a physiological advantage over a woman, strength-wise, muscular-wise, size of your frame, size of your muscles. All those things grow bigger during puberty. And to just apply a little bit of common sense, she's right. A lot of people know that. But they're so worried about what their friends might think of them if they were to dare to say anything.
Yeah, you don't want to be labeled as a bigot or other names that they toss at you that we've all been called. I mean, you just have to take it at some point, you know? That's just if you're going to speak truth, people are going to hate hearing it. People in the dark hate light.
And just remember that Riley Gaines, if she was the one speaking Monday night at St. Louis University, there would be protests across that campus. They'd try to ban her out of the room like they did Matt Walsh. But they'll welcome Dylan Mulvaney to speak over there on Monday night. And there won't be conservatives over there protesting. They just won't. That's not how they operate. It's one side here trying to shut you down if you disagree with
them. The president of SLU Republican says we're not protesting it. In fact, she will be able to do an interview with us, which will be great. We'll be able to chat with her about their call on that.
We're looking forward to that for sure. All right. Let's get to a break here. Jim Tallon up next. He's been in the House. He's been in the Senate. And I want his take on this situation with Mike Johnson and the fact that he may have to depend on Democrats Saturday to pass a couple of bills he's going to bring to the floor. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The yeas are 51, the nays are 49. The motion is to agree to. The Senate, sitting as a court of impeachment, stands adjourned, sine die. Majority leaders recognize.
For the information of members, there are no further votes today. Now, I remind all members that we have very serious business ahead of us in the next few days, and we'll keep you informed as to schedule as things can get scheduled.
We've got former Missouri Senator Jim Talent on the line right now. And Jim, as I understand it, what happened yesterday in the Senate broke 227 years of history, with the Senate killing the articles of impeachment without even holding a hearing.
I am not aware, Mark, of another instance when this has occurred. It's not something I focused on at the time, but I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Are you disappointed that they didn't even hold the hearing?
But I'm not surprised because a hearing on this would have required them to delve deeper into the border issue. It would not have resulted in a conviction, and I suspect the resulting vote would have been the same. But look, elections are a lot about what people are talking about, and the one thing that I guarantee you Biden does not want people to be talking about is the border. That and inflation and crime, and now, of course, foreign affairs either, because all of it's so disastrous. And so that's a lot of what these trials of President Trump are about.
Sure.
I don't think it helps them politically, but at least it means when we're talking about that, we're not talking about these other issues.
I thought they were required to hold a trial. I mean, they didn't even get to opening arguments, nothing, right?
Yeah, well, I'm sure the courts would say that the authority or the discretion to deal with it is confided in the Senate, and so a trial in this instance would mean, for example, a summary judgment is something the Senate just doesn't want to move. I mean, I got to see a court intervene on this, but yes, it's a violation of the spirit of the Constitution, if not of the letter. I would agree with that. And I think I need to say to you and to your listeners that I've reached the conclusion that the presumption ought to be against an actual impeachment under circumstances where it's clear that you're not going to get bipartisan support and you're not going to get a conviction in the Senate. Now, I might well have made an exception in this case, because I think the underlying issue here is not Mayorkas and his performance. It's what's happening at the border.
Yeah.
And so this whole exercise allowed us to make that more visible. But I would be very content if we can go, the next 4 years after a successful election in November without anybody getting impeached again.
Wow.
At least under circumstances where everybody, it's one thing if everybody says, oh, yeah, that person's got to go, but otherwise not. But I saw the logic behind this. I really did.
So let's talk about Mike Johnson's situation for just a minute. Jim, I'm sure you've been following that. Marjorie Taylor Greene, now Tom Massie, both members of Congress are talking about challenging him and trying to call for an ouster of Johnson. Because, among other things, it looks like he's going to seek Democrat votes to pass a couple of independent spending bills yesterday, when Republicans made it pretty clear, I thought, that whatever spending bills happened with Ukraine and Israel needed to be attached to border reform.
Yeah, I mean, that was the objective. Now, my I would have loved to see that. Personally, I support all of that aid because I think it advances American interests, even if it's not attached to the border. And they tried negotiating in the Senate. It failed. And I also think, Mark, this idea of trying to punish the leadership because policy disputes are not going the way you want, there's a fundamental problem with that. It's not the responsibility of the leadership to accomplish what you as a member want to accomplish. And I think there's a tendency on the part of too many people to think, well, you know, if the speaker decides he wants to do what I want to do, it's going to get done. No. I mean, I passed a lot of bills, and there are points where you need the leadership, and you definitely need to be willing to whip someone into supporting you if you want them to. But this is not a question of, well, the speaker needs to do it for me. And I think some people are slipping into that idea, which is a mistake.
Well, it's a narrow margin, right? You got one vote separating you. If this gets push comes to shove, you could end up with Hakeem Jeffries as Speaker of the House.
Yeah, and that's what this will and must eventually devolve into, some arrangement with the Democrats, which is, of course, not in the, you know, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face when you do that. So it's one thing to have the motion to vacate as an additional tool to pressure the leadership. But, you know, one rule that I think is really important to follow, you know, and I used to, when I would talk to people about this, you can't demand that they do what they cannot do. In other words, it's not possible for them to do. So they did pass border reform on their bill originally. They couldn't get it through the Senate. I mean, they don't control the Senate.
Yes.
And especially given the current partisan lineup of the Senate. So, yeah, this is an unreasonable action on the part of the insurgents. And eventually it ends up hurting your own interests.
I would have to agree with that. As much as it frustrates me, I agree. Jim, thanks for your time, my friend. I appreciate it.
You are welcome, as always.
Yeah, we'll talk again soon. I had a great lunch with Jim last week. We solved all the world's problems.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
It was
Tell me more.
Went to Smoke and Salt and Salt and
salt
Smoke.
And smoke.
And it was outstanding. Yeah, we had a
smoke
good
lunch. Smoke and Salt,
lunch.
I like that.
Whatever. It was good. Let's put it that way. Coming up, we got Evan Brown about that Tennessee bill that would ban any local discussion about reparations, like the one that's going on in St. Louis. We'll be back. The issue of reparations is certainly in the forefront here in St. Louis. There was a commission put together on it. The commission came up with ideas. Basically, they haven't funded it yet. But they let people voluntarily fund it, right? You can voluntarily fund the reparations fund in St. Louis. So Kim did a little Freedom of Information request last year, and we found out that as of, what was that, December?
I think 2020. I thought it was like 2022, like 2 years worth.
2 years worth. The total was $1,200?
Something like
that. Like people had donated like $1,200 to, but they want millions, if not hundreds of millions. I mean, it's an incredible thing to wrap your brain around. But these are conversations taking place around the country right now. You need to understand that. And in Tennessee, they've come up with a different way of dealing with that from a legislative standpoint. And we've got Evan Brown from Fox News Radio who's covering this story this morning. Evan, how are you?
Good morning.
Yeah, the Tennessee General Assembly is about to take action on this, right?
Well, there's a bill that has been put forward in the legislature that is causing a lot of controversy because the bill would prevent local, state, local, town governments, whatever, from using taxpayer dollars to even have a discussion or do any kind of research into the feasibility of reparations. And so if a bill like this were to pass in the state legislature in Tennessee, then a town or a county wouldn't even be able to hold hearings or anything like that in their town chambers or whatnot or do anything that would require someone to write a check or to use taxpayer funded facilities such as a town hall or a school to conduct that.
We know there will be some sort of a workaround so that they can still do this. So theoretically, they could say meet at a park and they can't use chairs if it costs a rental fee. So they'd say, all right, bring a blanket or your own chair and sit on the ground and we can still have our meeting. They just can't use taxpayer dollars to rent out a facility, you're saying?
Correct.
So
and that's how you would do a workaround. You would say, all right, look, we're going to meet at the diner. You know, they're allowing us to meet there. And if you want something to eat, it's on you. And that's that. But there is a lot of pushback. There's also some First Amendment questions about this because, you know, can't a town hold any kind of discussion it wants to hold if the majority of the people agree to hold it? The majority of the taxpayers in that town want to hold it. I mean, don't they have that right to to have that kind of self-determination. That's actually a very good legal argument to make. So where this really goes, we don't know. The bill is kind of being held up. It was being discussed in the legislature the other day, but one of the sponsors said, certainly it came out and said that, you know, slavery is, I'm paraphrasing here, slavery was bad, no matter who caused it, even insisting that using the phrase, whether the slaves were sold into slavery by African monarchs. That got a lot of jeers in the room, and it seemed to put the process on hold for a bit. So we don't know when the bill advances further for a vote, but it is there.
It's an emotional issue. But I look at it like here in Missouri, they made it pretty clear that local municipalities can't enact gun ordinances that are more strict than what state law is. So I would imagine that's basically what they're talking. If they make it illegal in the state of Tennessee to pay reparations, it would also be illegal at the city level, correct? Is that basically what they're going after, Evan? Am I understanding this?
It depends on how the actual law about reparations would be worked out.
Yeah.
But this bill here even just says, hey, you can't even talk about it using public money.
Wow.
I know you're focusing on Tennessee, but have you heard of any other states considering similar legislation?
I haven't. This is the one that's making the news right now. So I assume that other states may look at what Tennessee is doing, and if they're trying to hold off the idea of even having to consider making reparations, that this could be a legal route. I just don't know how strong it is. Again, when you begin to stifle people's speech, usually you run afoul of something.
Yeah, I could see that. Evan Brown, we appreciate your time.
You got it.
Yep, I appreciate that. It's interesting. I think they avoid the free speech issue by just saying you can meet on it all you want, but you're not allowed to use taxpayer dollars to pay reparations for something that nobody living today had anything to do with.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the proper use of taxpayer dollars. You are punishing one group at the expense of another for something nobody is currently responsible for.
You have to do the flip test. That's, you always say that, and I think that's smart, because think about if the government wanted to hold some sort of meeting on something to do against black people, for example, okay? That would never fly. If there were a group of white people meeting with taxpayer dollars to see how we could do A, B, or C with black people, like that, no. They would shut that down so fast.
I don't know how you can stop the speech, but I certainly think you could stop the spending. Listen to what Jasmine Crockett, she's a congresswoman from Texas. She's got a different approach to reparations, right? Until halfway through her thought process, she realizes that her approach might not work because there are quite a few people that don't pay taxes. Listen to this. Hold on.
But I'd have to think through it a lot. One of the things that they propose is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then again, that puts money back in your pocket. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars. But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue the reparations make sense, because so many black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, right? But the fact is, like, we end up being so far behind, right? And so it's like, how do you bring forth people? Exactly. And so it's like, if you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and aren't really paying taxes in the first place, it doesn't really, exactly.
They may want those checks like they got during COVID.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's it. They want those checks.
So would Tashara Jones be okay with not taxing black people for a certain amount of time instead of the 1% earnings tax?
Well, what would that do to the city coffers?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if she's threatening to withhold the 3% raise from city employees over this earnings tax, would she do the same thing if, say, they decided not to tax black people?
I don't know.
I guarantee you she wouldn't.
Know. Well, I mean, that's what Jasmine Crockett came up with. I don't think any of them are workable. I'm not sure how you justify that, because if you've worked hard last year and paid your taxes and they went into the city's coffers, you didn't discriminate against anybody, but this is finding you guilty of the sins of your fathers. And that's not going to fly. The American people are not going to put up with that. So I wish maybe Missouri needs to float a similar bill as Tennessee, saying you're not using taxpayer dollars for that. We're just going to stop that right now. Let's just end that discussion. All right, coming up. I told you today that yesterday somebody delivered brownies to all of the Missouri state representatives, House of Representatives, with a little caveat that they might have a little bit of dog poop in them. So eat them if you want. but understand that just because there's a little bit of bad in something that's mostly good doesn't mean the whole thing is still good. You see the point? We're going to talk to the lady that came up with that brilliant idea in just a minute. So if you deliver food to a radio station or a TV station, people just eat it up like it's just gone. And they generally don't ask a lot of questions. I don't know if the legislature's like that or not, but yesterday they all got a little package with a brownie in it, and it had a note attached to it. And the note said, "They absolutely look decadent, rich, chocolatey, and sweet. Go ahead and try one. You deserve a special treat. But I feel I ought to warn you as I see your hefty scoop. There's a secret ingredient, half a teaspoon of dog poop." And the point of this was that, remember this story if you can, because most of the brownie is sugar and sweet and good, but there's a little bit of bad stuff in there. And just a little bit of dog poop spoils the entire pan. With the point being, there are things in the education bill that spoil the entire bill. And I've got Bev Allen on the phone this morning, and Bev is the baker of this particular treat, which I'll just say, Bev, did not include any dog poop, right?
I don't even have a dog.
It's a brilliant point. Where did you come up with this?
Well, actually, on Tuesday, when I spoke with more than one Republican who I've worked with for a long time, who were justifying their position on 727 because of the good in it, and they were willing to take the bad to get the good. And that just crushed me, because for all these years, you know, statesmen stand up and vote no. We're always encouraging our office holders to vote no on a bill, even though it may hurt them, quote unquote, in headlines, because of the bad in the bill. And then they can explain it. So I was just lamenting the fact that we were having too many Republicans saying they'd take the bad with the good. And I said, well, I'm just going to bring some brownies tomorrow. And that's what's verdict. I came home and spent 3 hours baking those stupid things, and my husband was packaging them up. But the point here is, you're right. You don't take the bad to get that little bit of good.
Yeah. Tell me in your opinion, Bev, what is the bad? What is the poison pill that's in 727, the education bill?
Well, you know, actually, I've not been real vocal on 727. I've just kind of laid low the last few weeks. But the urgency, the rushing through of this and saying that the House cannot amend it. But the bad I see is giving DESE more control. Every good Republican is supposed to want less government control. We lament about the federal education, Department of Education. Well, the Secondary.
Is
bad or worse. And I saw that when Common Core came out. So we're giving them more control. And there's other issues in there. This book giveaway, that's not a big deal, but it's another thing. But the homeschoolers have come out against it because they're afraid that their wonderful law that many people spent so much blood, sweat, and tears back in the 70s or 80s, I guess, to perfect, that these new homeschoolers are willing to let go because they want money from the government. And so I see some of these things, and I said, slow down. Let's make this a good school choice bill, a school choice without strings. Right now there's some strings. And so I only came out vocally the last week, because I just hate the rush.
Yes.
And the no negotiation. And I just don't see that that's good policy making.
Well, it was a brilliant plan. I got to be honest with you. Adam Schwadron apparently did not appreciate it. He accused you of food tampering in his tweet.
Biohazard.
Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's what troubled me even more. the number of Republicans. Well, we only had a few that were complaining.
Yeah.
But I didn't think Republicans got triggered and needed safe spaces. But I guess Adam Schwadron, you know, the big guy that he is, he wants a safe place because he didn't know how to throw that brownie away.
Bev Ahlen with Liberty Link, Missouri. We appreciate you giving us a few minutes this morning. Thank you, Bev.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for all you do. We appreciate that. That's brilliant. Just brilliant. All right, coming up, Shannon Bream. We'll talk more about the Supreme Court hearing this week on those obstruction charges against the J6 people. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.